Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have two awesome panelists. I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kelly. Good stuff.
Thanks for being on. And also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
And Andrew, I actually want to start with you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about a protest app that people in Hong Kong have been using, and as could presumably be expected, it's making some other people not happy.
Yeah, so there's this app, it's called HK Map Live, and the developers took to Twitter a couple days ago, it looks like, saying that Apple removed their app because the response was that it was encouraging people to break the law. Because what the app did was it warned people of any police activities on the streets in Hong Kong. And the protesters use this, of course, to avoid that. And so the question that is only by the people was, like, is this Apple legitimate, you know, removing it breaks or guidelines, or people, well, maybe China or maybe asked or pressured Apple. So it's a kind of a nuanced issue, I think.
Yeah, well, and there's a certain amount of stuff here that we don't know and will presumably never know, because part of the dissatisfaction with this app comes from the Chinese government. And we know what an open and transparent organization they are. So,
well, they operate very differently. It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like, obviously there's going to be a piece of this conversation that we will never, ever know about, ever, probably. That doesn't sound outside of the realm of possibility. But one thing that I think you said they mentioned, Andrew, was that Waze shows people police activity, and Apple doesn't seem to have a problem with that. But the thing that I was wondering about, because, as we were talking about this, was, is Waze available in Hong Kong? Just because it's available on any app store doesn't mean it's available on every app store.
Well, and so there's the blocked in China tracker website that will show that, like, maps and maps.google.com is not available. But interestingly, Waze.com is. That doesn't mean the app's available in the store, and I couldn't find anything that confirmed that one way or another. But let's presume, for the sake of argument, that it is, or some other app is, that here in the U.S., when we use it, it shows us where law enforcement is, or could show us where law enforcement is.
Right.
There's nothing that says that even if the app's available, the same features are available in every country or even every locale, right?
That's true.
We see that here in the U.S. all the time, not because of legislation, but because of data availability, right? Like, sometimes you won't have the information in rural somewhere that you would in, like, you know, San Francisco. And Apple Maps is a great example of this, because everybody that I knew that lived in the Bay Area loved Apple Maps.
Yep.
And for a long time, everyone that didn't hated it. It's gotten better everywhere else. But, you know, it wasn't a great surprise that, hey, by the way, you know, you live where literally Apple's engineers have to drive every day. Doesn't surprise me that you might have a better experience with the app they happen to be the ones writing. So and here in the U.S. alerting someone to law enforcement's presence is not against the law,
right.
In fact, in many scenarios it's encouraged, right? Because the mere awareness of the presence of law enforcement will keep people from speeding. It will keep people from driving drunk. I say it will. Studies have been done that show that, by and large, you know, it keeps people from speeding more than they would if they thought law enforcement wasn't there. It keeps people from driving drunk more than they would if they thought, you know, law enforcement wasn't there. So that sort of, you know, the law enforcement presence is something our law enforcement here in the U.S. actually works to do. They aren't necessarily out to get everyone all the time. They're just out to be present. And that in and of itself sort of keeps the peace, yeah. You know, with air
quotes.
That can
be a deterrent as well. Yeah.
It can be a deterrent. Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that can be a really good thing. So I think we need to go into this conversation sort of questioning any assumption about whether Waze or similar apps in the U.S. are doing anything that law enforcement or government in general would not want them doing, right? It's really easy to look at this Hong Kong thing and it's like, okay, the government doesn't want that, you know, law enforcement doesn't want people to know where they are, but Waze in the U.S. does. Like, right. Well, our law enforcement thinks differently about this sort of thing in general, not, you know, obviously sure. There are, yeah, but like, that's not really a problem. Yeah. I mean, like, radar detectors are legal in all states except Virginia, right?
That seems here, right, yeah.
But illegal in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, okay, fine. I mean, different country, different locale, different laws.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Yep. So, yeah. Well, it's interesting. Yeah.
The other piece of this that was interesting is that Waze, to me, anyway, was an odd example because Google doesn't do business in China. And yeah. Waze is owned by Google. So, you know, there. I think the question was raised, like, let me make sure I'm getting this right, Andrew, but the question was raised by the developers of this police app, who it was that got it rejected from the app store, if there are other apps with the same functionality that are not geared toward protesting that will allow you to have access to that information. And so it was sort of like, well, you know, was it really app store rules that we were violating by doing this? Or was it that there was someone in China who didn't like that we were doing this? And now here we are.
Yeah, and there's a whole Twitter thread related to the developers' conversation talking about the various laws in Hong Kong regarding protesting and police activity. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find to see if I can find a good quote.
Because that was the notable part to me was that piece of it. And if this were a cut... It sounds like this may not be a cut and dried case of there are different regulations in different places about what you can put on the app store. And this app is clearly in violation of the one for Hong Kong. And here we are. It's not, we've disallowed it from the app store, but it's entirely possible since this is the Chinese government that they're sort of protesting and up against that there may have been some other factors at play in drawing attention to this app and getting it bounced out of the store. So that's the part
I'm
where
sure
it gets interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Like,
it's entirely possible that that's not what happened, but it's also entirely possible that that's exactly what happened. Like, yeah. It's kind of 50-50 at this point because of the government that we're talking about. And the only things we ever really find out about that government are exactly this kind of activity. We want to keep people from organizing. We want to keep people from protesting. We want everyone to go around believing that everything is fine and that everything the government is doing is for your own good and you should just take it and like it. And that seems to be their stance. I don't feel like I'm mischaracterizing much, if anything, by making that statement. That's all in the West. That's what we see of their government. So if there's other stuff happening, we just don't see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and the HK Map Live people who are the ones that had this happen and posted the original tweet that showed the rejection phrase used from the App Store replied to that tweet and said, you know, this is getting way more feedback than I expected. To make it clear, I still believe this is more a bureaucratic F up than censorship. Everything can be used for illegal purpose on the wrong hand. Our app is for info and we do not encourage illegal activity. So, I think they're seeing it exactly the way you just categorized it, Kelly. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's I like to use apps that tell me about police activity, not police presence, because police activity means something's happening. And if I'm traveling in some direction and there's police activity, I probably want to route around it because the activity could be anything. You know, it could be there's a speed trap, which is pretty benevolent, but it could also be like they've called a SWAT team and there's a whole thing happening at that intersection. And so I probably don't want to be anywhere near it. So for me, it can be useful because not because I'm trying to evade the cops, but I'm trying to evade some sort of traffic disaster because Portland has a whole lot of traffic disaster before the police ever get involved. So if I'm just trying to get somewhere efficiently, I will occasionally look at, you know, something like Waze just to make sure that there's not, you know, that it's not a red line the whole way from wherever I am to wherever I'm going. And
yeah, I've done that. I did something one night that in retrospect, I realized was extremely foolish. Our police, at least around here, will put up signs saying DUI roadblock ahead.
Oh,
and I was on my, you know, right. And I was on my way home from a gig and I saw that sign and I saw a line full of cars and I'm like, oh, I know how to go around this. And so I did. But it meant making like a U-turn in a parking lot to like go do this. And I realized, wow, how suspicious did that look? Right? Like,
oh no, DUI roadblock. I got to bail.
Exactly. Which is exactly what I thought, but you know, not necessarily for the reason that someone seeing me would have presumed.
Yes. In the car, it was a totally reasonable decision. Outside of the car,
totally
it looked a little
made
sketch
sense to me. Yeah. And I'm like on this back road heading, you know, routing around this roadblock and heading home thinking, wow, you know, how much longer am I going to be petrified here before I realize that they aren't coming after me? But you know, it was the same kind of thing. They want you to know what you're in for. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in some places they have to,
right,
for those kinds of roadblocks, they have to, and they'll publish them in the paper ahead of time, especially on holiday weekends and stuff. They'll, you know, or online even now ahead of time. And that's to me, that's a good thing. It might actually keep somebody from driving drunk. So,
although now I'm thinking, like, if they were smart, they would post DUI roadblock ahead, and then they would just catch all the people who did the UE in the parking lot.
Yeah, and then let everybody.
We're just going to catch the people who fled the DUI roadblock.
Yeah.
But I think part of this is that it's an interesting conversation because this is again one of those things where people's lives and their smartphones butt up against the government. You know, people's lives have butted up against the government forever. Like, as long as there's been government and there's been people, they've butted up against each other in different ways throughout all the ages. And now technology is just another facet of that. So, so it's definitely a conversation that is going to be had and more going forward. You know, I say that every time we end up talking about it here. But we definitely are going to see more things like this, and particularly because not every country has the same sort of government, whatever form that takes. So every government is going to have a different answer to, you know, an app like this, or you know, apps that people are using for keeping their communications private, you know, and things like that. Like, there's going to be all kinds of conversations that have to happen around that stuff. And we're going to see a lot more of that happening, I think, in the very near future, for sure. Certainly as the situation in Hong Kong continues to change. So we will have to. And as we find out more, we will talk about it. And thanks, Andrew, for bringing us that story. I like talking about it. Now we want to talk a little bit about Siri. And earlier when I said about S-Lady, it triggered my phone and I don't know why. So I'm going to try and be careful about that. But Dave, this was the thing that we talked about a little bit yesterday, so I kind of wanted to ask you about. And that was using Siri with third-party apps.
Right. So Andrew wrote up a piece about something that's coming, but not yet in iOS 13. Correct me if I'm wrong, please, Andrew.
Correct.
Okay. Where Siri, not just Siri, the, you know, voice response, but the brains, if you want to call them that, behind it, will notice if you use a specific messaging app to talk to a specific person, and then will auto launch that app when you say message. For example, if I were with Andrew and Kelly, right? Let's say Andrew, I use iMessage with Kelly, I use WhatsApp with. So now I could say message Kelly on WhatsApp and it would launch WhatsApp. But if I simply say message Kelly, you know, without the whole Simon Says thing going on, then it launches, right? Then it launches messages. I'm like, oh no, crap. I wanted to message Kelly in WhatsApp, right?
Right.
After doing that message Kelly in WhatsApp for some yet unknown number of times in a, you know, in a frequency, something, some, there's some math that it's doing and it will say, ah, he always messages Kelly with WhatsApp. So I will just launch WhatsApp the next time he says message Kelly. But when I say message Andrew, it's still going to launch iMessage because that's where you and I message each other. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Like so thumbs up. Great.
Yes.
The smarter my devices can be for me, especially without divulging what it knows about me to third parties, great. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The issue is what happens when it inevitably gets it wrong. And so, you know, you and I tested something. We were, you know, doing something for an article here and we were testing in WhatsApp. But by golly, when I'm driving in my vehicle and I say message Kelly, I want it to use iMessage. I know this. Can I communicate that in a very definitive way to the brains of Siri? And right now, with any of these things that we've seen, you can't. It it decides in its infinite wisdom how things should be going, and then it does them. And I mean, it's been doing this for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. When you get into your car, it notices certain, it notices that you're in your car because of, you know, certain Bluetooth criteria, or that you're at the gym based on certain criteria, and it knows you play a certain playlist at the gym, or you need to launch a certain app in your car. Like, I use an app with my radar detector because it puts my speed up on the screen of the radar detector, which is great because that's actually what I use it for. I tend not to speed very much. And I really like to know if I'm going 10 over the limit, even if I'm not using GPS, like Waze would tell me that, my radar detector would. But it only will do that if the app is running. And only about 50% of the time does the car decide, ah, yes, the criteria is right. I shall launch this app in the background, right?
Right.
And I want to know, like, how do I tell it? Go do that thing. And shortcuts is actually getting more capable, especially in iOS 13, with that scenario.
Yeah.
But for the scenario of which messaging app it's going to choose for you to use based on what person you're messaging, history has shown us that Apple's not going to give us the ability to tweak that. And I hope that changes.
Yeah.
Because I really like the idea of an automated assistant that does all the things that I want it to do without me having to think about it each and every time. But I also don't mind thinking about it one time.
Yeah.
And going in and being very explicit. Like, when I do this stuff, go do that. And trust me on this. Like, you are my assistant. You know, I don't work for you. You work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
So that's kind of the, you know, that's I hope we get, you know, Apple likes to make things simple and elegant, and they don't like to have too many bells and whistles to present to their users that might be confusing.
Right.
And I get that. But I also get that some of us, and I would venture to say that many users would not mind saying, yes, use this messaging app for Kelly. Like, great, if you figured it out on your own, that's even better.
Yeah.
But if you figured it out wrong, let me just guide you here. Like, that's cool. I manage people for a living. I kind of like it when people figure things out on their own. And it's like, oh, yeah, you're doing a great job. But when they say, oh, I figured it out, I'm doing this. It's like, actually, I get why you figured that out. Nothing wrong. You're still a good human. But you are, your outcome is wrong, and do it this way. It's all good. You know, everybody's happy still. No problems. Nobody got fired.
Right? The ability to make that adjustment is the part that Siri has a hard time with. Yeah. And I think this is the same math if, cause I have 3D touch, team home button. I have 3D touch. And so I have, you know, you 3D touch into the messages app, and depending on the time of day, right? So, like, in the evening before Mr. Kelly comes home, and like one of us is texting the other one about dinner, like if I go to the app, if I go to messages and like 3D touch, then you know, in the evening, that's going to be one of the options is to send him a message. And you know, in the morning when I'm texting someone else about a different thing or whatever, you know, if I have a tendency to text someone at a certain time, it's going to show me that person in the morning, and you know, for whatever it is. And so for me, like that piece of the math has been good. Like the, you know, messages saying like, this is normally when you text this person, you know, do you want to send them a message, or phone calls, you know, because I'm still one of those people that makes phone calls once in a while. So this is normally, you know, you normally call this person in the morning and it's morning, so is this the number that you're looking for? And those have been super useful so far. I haven't had, but I also, like, because it's the 3D touch thing, like I can also ignore it. So if it's not what I want, then it doesn't matter. But yeah, the adjustment in those, you know, the adjustment, I think, and Dave, I think this is something that we sort of have inadvertently talked about a few times on TDO, is configuring her in some particular way and getting the assistant to do what we want her to do in a particular way, like all the time. That's a part that we don't have any sort of mechanism to adjust. We just sort of have to hope that the assistant is going to figure it out.
Right.
And
right.
That's
yeah.
not right. an adjustment. And the reason that I note that is because I will occasionally get that option with the A lady, and I can go in the app and I can look at all the things I've asked her, and I can tell Amazon, like, this was right, but this was wrong. This was super duper wrong. This was so wrong, I'm going to send Amazon feedback about how wrong it was. Like, I get that option on like every single one of those, and you can go in and sort of monitor them. So when I ask her something sort of interesting and then it ends up being not useful at all, or, you know, I ask her to turn all the lights off and then she says, several things have the name lights. I'm like, no, I said all lights. And so, you know, like being able to go into the A-Lady app and adjust all that stuff is super helpful. I don't do it probably as much as I need to, but I do have that option. And I don't know a way that you can do that with the stuff that you tell your phone.
Yeah, I mean, right now, the only way I can think of to do this is, if it does make a mistake, you might have to just manually say, no, wait, message Dave via iMessage. And then after mm-hmm. a minimum amount of times, it will error correct and do that correctly again.
Yeah. And I wonder about, like, if you said text Kelly something, something. I wonder if it would open iMessages. Yeah.
If it would know one versus, yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're about to find out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I look
yeah.
forward to getting your messages. Yeah, because
and perhaps mistraining or correctly training Siri. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that turns out, and I will keep you updated on that progress as we figure this out. Because this is the kind of stuff that I know Dave sort of enjoys figuring out, and I know I enjoy sort of figuring out. So we will hopefully have some sort of update for you on that soon. I do think it's interesting if you have something that you have taught Siri to do, or if you have accidentally taught her to do something and you want her and you want to be able to adjust that. We want to hear from you. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can also leave comments in the show notes. So that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank both of you for being here. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
It was a very good conversation. And Andrew, thanks for coming by. Talk to us about apps in China.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.